Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
You're listening to Eye on the Community. I'm Vicki Pepper. Wildfire season is upon us here in Southern California, and obviously we all hope that we are never put in a situation in which we'd have to evacuate our home, or even worse, have the worst case scenario happen. But if it does, and our home or business sustains damage, how can we make sure we're financially ready? On the line with me is Chip Merlin, a specialist in insurance claims disputes and author of Pay Up, Preventing a Disaster with Your Own Insurance Company. Thanks for joining me today, Chip.
Hey, Vicki, it's a pleasure to be here, especially on this topic that's, you know, so sad with everybody and all the wildfires. And of course, everybody knows about it just because of trying to live through the smoke.
Absolutely. And the air quality is just dreadful out here. Chip, I think dealing with insurance companies isn't on anyone's list of fun things to do. What are some steps that property owners can take to protect themselves when dealing with an insurance company after a fire?
Well, after the fire, sometimes it's too late. Really, it starts even beforehand by getting the proper agent and make certain that you have the right coverage. But if you just had a loss, the first thing, especially if it's a wildfire, then one of the first things I tell people, you know, be safe before you go back to your home. There's a lot of, and the paralysis, there's all kinds of carcinogenic materials that are in the home that are left over in the dust and things like that. So when you do go back, you want to make certain you have great respiratory gear, wear boots and things like that. Unfortunately, I've had clients that have gotten hurt when they first go back afterwards. And then, you know, it's very emotional to go back through and to see your belongings burned up and things like that. All your stuff that you collected for years and years and the photographs and memories. It's a difficult time for people, and being prepared for that, you know, I think in advance is important, but your first safety comes first. The second thing after that, of course, is getting with your insurance company, notifying them, letting them know what the loss is. And then what I tell people is keep a calendar of everything that's going on step by step, all your dealings with the insurance company, the cast of characters that get sent out to take a look at your home. Sometimes it's not one adjuster you might deal with, but a number of people that'll come out to deal with you, and being able to keep in touch with them helps speed up the recovery afterwards. And keeping people online by the counter, when you come back and see me, you know, means a lot that you try to speed your way through getting a full recovery.
What are the biggest mistakes people make after a fire when trying to act as their own insurance adjuster?
I think a lot of times people don't understand all the benefits that are available under their insurance policy. And let's face it, who reads their insurance policy? Nobody. I mean, and if you did read it and you tried to read all the way through, who would really understand it unless you were an insurance professional to begin with? Just about nobody. A lot of the hieroglyphics that go on reading it put most people to sleep. But I think going through it at that time afterwards and making certain that you're asking questions and becoming informed about what benefits are there, such as if it's your home, your additional living expense money, which can add up to a lot of money afterwards if you're forced out of your home. How do you evaluate your personal property? When does it get paid for? And then making certain that you're getting paid for everything for the construction prices that many times after a catastrophe, you know, go up. Talk about a wildfire. There's a wildfire in the demand for construction. And a lot of times the prices are just shockingly high. And we're finding that, you know, throughout California right now. There's just way too – the demand for products and materials and people that – our skilled laborers to rebuild homes is just out of sight right now and the prices are quite high.
What tactics do insurance companies employ to save on how much they can pay on claims?
Oh, everything. Some will say, don't go get professional help. Trust us first and things like that if you don't know everything and be wary of that. Some insurance companies will try to speed people into a final resolution of the claim. Will you accept this? We can just get this closed right away. And getting people to sign releases, all of which are wrong. The truth is, the greater the amount of loss, the more you might need professional help from a public adjuster, if it's a loss like a wildfire, or an attorney, just to even get the information. And, you know, letting some time pass as you try to go back. Are you sure that you have enough to get everything replaced? Are you sure you have enough to get everything, you know, fixed afterwards? So don't speed into the recovery, you know, right afterwards. And then make certain whoever's going to be doing your construction, you got somebody that's qualified, that's been in the area, hopefully, that's got a reputation that you can bank on, because unfortunately there have been some scam artists to take the money and off they go. And then, or if they do the work, it's just not up to the quality that you need.
I'm speaking with Chip Merlin, a specialist in insurance claims disputes and author of Pay Up, Preventing a Disaster with Your Own Insurance Company. Chip, how should a homeowner or business owner go about finding a professional who can help them deal with a complicated claims process with an insurance company?
Yeah, don't pick one just going through the internet if you can help it. And don't look at the advertisements, because a lot of times anybody can advertise anything on the internet today. And people make fairly wild claims about what they're able to do. Instead, you know, I tell people, and you are going to do a search for it, and while most people think you can go, oh, just ask word of mouth, that doesn't necessarily work out so well either. I look for credentials. I look for leaders in the field, and you can see that eventually, you know, whoever it might be. If it's an attorney, is it somebody that does this for a long period of time? Do they speak about it? Do they educate others? Are they somebody that others look up to in the field, that even the insurance industry would look up to as an authority? For public adjusters, it's the same thing too. What kind of credentials do they have behind them? And, oh, are they just stormtroopers, or somebody that's been here in the community for a long period of time so that they know such things as California laws and things like that? So don't rush into it, and never be push them to do something. Be wary of crazy claims that some people might put on the internet, because they truly are crazy and led just to go ahead and people that are more interested in making a buck rather than really developing a professional relationship and taking care of their client.
Why do some policyholders underreport their losses?
That's a great question, Vicki. You know, and it's almost gets in psychology for some people. It's like, hey, I'm here to help the insurance company. I don't want to be accused of one of those people of asking for too much. And we've all seen all these ads about insurance fraud and things like that. And the truth of the matter is, you paid a premium, you bought the product, and now the time to use it is after you've had a major loss. You're not doing yourself any favors whatsoever by not being fully compensated afterwards and asking for all the benefits afterwards. That's the exact time that you should be standing up for yourself. You know, most people buy insurance, and the only thing that happens is year after year after year, you pay premiums, and nothing happens when you finally have that big loss. And frankly, a lot of people go through their entire life and they never have one. But if you're an unfortunate victim and that's what happened, that's the time, you know, for your foresight, all the money that you paid for those years, you need to make certain you stand up for yourself and get enough money so you can be fully back to where you used to be before, and maybe even better, which is something I've tell people. You buy a product for your replacement costs. You're actually supposed to be replaced new for old. And to some extent, you're actually in a better position than what you were beforehand. And don't feel bad about it. That's what you paid all the premium for, and that's what the insurance company is supposed to be insuring for you and paying for. So it's not going to help you out later. They're not going to feel sorry for you later on. The statistics that you had a loss are already there. So make certain after you've had the loss that you put in for the full amount that you're entitled to.
How can insurance companies put your health at risk following a fire?
Well, you know, and that's why I kind of alluded to that in the very beginning of our interview. Sometimes insurance companies will hand people paperwork and say, hey, we want you to fill all this out and go back out to your home site that you just had this fire at, or you have some water, and so you've got mold. If it's a water damage claim that you've always got to be concerned about, from a fire. It's those carcinogenic materials that are out there. And just by them saying, hey, we're going to make you go out there and do the contents list rather than we, the insurance company, and they're trying to make it almost like a self-serve insurance policy. Remember back in the old days when you could get your gas tank filled up and you'd have the attendant there doing it for you? Well, that's what the insurance company is supposed to be doing with you. They're supposed to be out there actually counting the contents, giving the values and helping out rather than handing it to you. And they're making you go back out to the loss site and sit in those things. We literally had cases where people, you know, have done that. We told them after, didn't you even know that you were, you know, endangering yourself doing so? And it's not a good thing to have happen. So, you know, what I tell people, you got to be careful afterwards when you go back out to the loss site and don't just give up on your claim. All of a sudden, next thing you know, it seems to be so much paperwork we have to fill out, and the insurance companies bank on people, sort of like your income tax. You know, some people don't fill out their income tax returns or spend enough time, and they don't get as much. All these deductions they could have gotten back in the returns could have been a lot higher. It's the same thing even going through and filling out the paperwork for the insurance. It's, after a while, it becomes a hassle, and people just give up. And I'm constantly, hey, don't let that happen to you. Don't be one of those. If you feel that way, go get some help. Other people out there that will do it for you.
How can you determine a good claims professional to help versus those who simply use flashy advertising and promises and the internet, like you said?
The biggest thing is look for credentials afterwards. And credentials usually come with the teaching. They've written papers on the topic. They're the ones that others look up to in the field to do so. And you can see that even just on the internet, who's doing seminars, who's putting on things. They could be writing books. Who's been in it for a long period of time that might have been an officer in the organization that they belong to? You know, those are people that are passionate about what they do and passionate about doing this as their life's work over a long period of time. And those, obviously, are the type of people that you'd rather have working for you. It's, you know, who do you want to pick? The person that has any credentials behind them and that nobody seems to be paying attention to, or you want to go try to hire the best? And today you can go find that by looking for those types of things on the internet and keeping away from, you know, the claims that I got somebody this amount of money that's so much higher, come hire me right away. It's the type of deal that I'd almost run from that and instead look for the people that have been in it for a long time that others look up to.
Chip, how can people get your book, Pay Up, Preventing a Disaster with Your Own Insurance Company?
Well, that's easy. You can go on the internet and even buy a Kindle edition if you want to. I guess the internet's so easy to go buy things from, but Amazon.com, if you Google it, they have prices that are up there, and there's a Kindle edition, hard edition, and even an Audible edition, you can even listen to it. So, and I tell people, you know, insurance is, if you were to go home and talk to your spouse, hey, look at this book I just bought, it's about insurance. You know, what a sexy topic that is. They probably cringe at it, but, you know, I wrote the book to help people. It's not lawyerly or anything like that. It's got a lot of practical suggestions for people about how do you deal with your insurance agent? What kind of insurance agent should you select? You know, what happens, you know, when you have either a health claim, a property loss claim, or other type insurance claim, and how do you deal with insurance company adjusters so that you prevent, you know, a disaster from really happening after the first one makes you a victim?
Well, Chip, obviously we all hope that we never have to lose our home or business to a wildfire, but if we do, this is really important information for us to have. Thank you so much for chatting with me today.
Hey, Vicki, I appreciate it. You have a great day now.